Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
In ancient times, man roamed the earth in a constant state of hunting or being hunted. Introducing Caveman, where cutting-edge science meets ancient super nutrients. Secure your bottle right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Today, I want to celebrate with you 30 years of this program, American Dissident Voices, which began as a discussion in William Pierce's West Virginia office near the end of 1991. And was on the air on WWCR and WRNO shortly thereafter in December, right at the end of December 1991. Let's listen to an excerpt from the very first month that ADV was on the air, an interview I did with Dr. William Pierce, founder of the National Alliance. Be aware that the references to National Vanguard books are to the predecessor to today's Cosmotheist books, which continues and expands its tradition at cosmotheistchurch.org. Listen.
American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. The piece you just heard was based on the lead editorial in National Vanguard magazine, number 93, entitled At the Threshold, by Dr. William Pierce. For the last three programs, we've been presenting a continuing interview with Dr. William Pierce, founder and chairman of the National Alliance and the man behind National Vanguard Books, which produces this program. Let's continue with that interview now. What else do you sell besides books?
National Vanguard Books sells video cassettes and audio cassettes. Our audio cassettes contain a number of speeches by patriots and leaders of patriotic organizations that have been delivered over the last 20 or 25 years. Some of these are of considerable historical interest. All of them contain ideas worthy of consideration by our customers.
What about videos?
We have some materials that were produced in Germany prior to 1945, which have very important messages, and yet these things have been banned.
You sell a video called The Other Israel. What's that all about?
The Other Israel is a very well done documentary on the Middle East, specifically on the role of the State of Israel in the Middle East. It looks at the history of not only Israel, but the history of the Jews and of the Zionist movement, the way in which these things have influenced our lives. And it suggests some dangers that we ought to be aware of.
What other books do you recommend that white people should obtain and read from National Vanguard Books?
Gee, Kevin, there's so many books which are important. Books on our history and prehistory, on our myths and legends, books on race, on society, on ideas. The ideas of Friedrich Nietzsche, as expressed in his book, Thus Spake Zarathustra, and of George Bernard Shaw, expressed in his Man and Superman, are extremely important. And I highly recommend these two books, which are available from National Vanguard Books. We sell a very interesting little book entitled Why Civilizations Self-Destruct, which I believe every responsible white person should read. Perhaps the single most useful book that we sell is a reprint volume containing all of the important articles from 12 years of National Vanguard tabloids and its predecessor. The title of that book is The Best of Attack in National Vanguard Tabloid.
And all of these books are listed in your book catalog?
All are listed in our catalog with the prices and ordering information.
And that book catalog is available as part of our information kit, and we'll be giving you the information and the address for ordering that kit later in the program. Now let's go on to a personal question, Dr. Pierce. I'm going to ask it in two parts. When our enemies, when the controlled media describe your motivations for what you're doing, what do they say your motivations are? And after you answer that question, tell me what your motivations really are.
Well, I think hate is the word that is most often used in describing my motivations, or in describing the motivations of a number of other people whose ideas are contrary to those of the masters of our controlled media. It wasn't hate at all which motivated me to begin my work. It was a great concern for what I saw happening around me in the 1960s. I saw our society being turned upside down, being stood on its head. I saw all of our old values being replaced by new values. I've never been a person opposed to progress or opposed to change, but I saw many things happening in the 1960s which greatly alarmed me, because I had the instinctive feeling that these changes were contrary to our interests as a people. And I felt the urgent need to understand better what was happening. And once I had gained some understanding, to speak out, to say something about these things, because I saw people around me who also were concerned remaining silent, afraid to speak out, afraid to cause offense to the powerful forces that were behind many of these changes.
What were some of these changes that concerned you?
Well, there were a great many changes, some in manners and morals, but I think the greatest change was racial. It was during the 1960s that all of the barriers between the races in the United States were pulled down. The barriers against miscegenation, the barriers of which had formerly provided white environments for living, for schooling, for working, for most white people in this country. All of those barriers were pulled down, and we began moving toward what the advocates of these changes proudly describe as the multicultural society that we see around us now. And I was not at all sure back in the 1960s that pulling down these barriers between the races was a good thing, that destroying the unique environment that each race had lived and worked and developed its own resources in heretofore, I wasn't sure that it was at all a good thing to destroy these individual racial and cultural environments and throw everything into the melting pot and stir it up.
What's going to happen down the road if this program of multiculturalism and multiracialism continues? What's its ultimate destination for us?
Well, we can already begin to see some of the consequences of this program in the breakdown of values, the breakdown of morality, the loss of a sense of identity, the loss of a sense of racial consciousness. Ultimately, this will lead to a loss of any racial distinctions whatsoever. We will, in fact, cease to exist as a race. And that, I think, will be the ultimate tragedy.
You want white people to re-erect these barriers between them and other races. You want white people to live separately. Doesn't that imply, as your critics suggest, hatred of all other races?
No, not at all. I think it behooves the members of other racial groups to live separately just as it behooves us. After all, when you throw everyone into the melting pot, it's not just our culture, it's not just our civilization, it's not just our race which is destroyed, everyone's is destroyed.
Now that all the hoopla has died down about the Persian Gulf War, perhaps we can look back objectively at it. Now, most Americans feel good about what we did there. Should they?
Well, I don't think so. I don't see any reason why we should feel good about having gone over to the Persian Gulf and slaughtered 150,000 people who have never done us a lick of harm. In fact, they're people who by no stretch of the imagination could have ever posed any real threat to us. We had no business going over to the Persian Gulf. Liberating Kuwait, putting the emir of Kuwait back on his throne, chasing Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait, blasting his country back into the Stone Age, certainly did not serve the interests of the United States, the interests of the American people. And I'm rather embarrassed that so many people seem to have gotten such a bang out of this adventure that we had in the Middle East. if we must engage in a war, it should only be when there is some compelling national interest to be served. And there was no compelling national interest that was served in the Persian Gulf War.
Whose interests were served?
The only interests served were those of Israel and of Israel's supporters in this country. Iraq was the one credible threat to Israel's hegemony in the Middle East, and rather than tackle Saddam Hussein himself, Israel preferred to have the United States armed forces tackle him.
Thank you, Dr. William Pierce, for being our guest. Dr. Pierce will appear in future editions of American Dissident Voices.
That was Dr. William Pierce and I speaking during one of our very first American Dissident Voices programs, a series which began in December 1991 and continues to this day. I am recording this program on the last day of 2021. Perhaps we weren't as polished as we eventually became, and neither I nor Dr. Pierce has quite fleshed out our on-air styles in those first few weeks on the air. But I think the potential of the medium, radio, audio, had never met better nor more important subject matter than the racial decline and demise of America and the West, and the great potential for future greatness of our people as we take control of our political and biological destiny. When Will Williams and I restarted American Dissident Voices 8 years ago, I shared some of the history of ADV with you. Back in those days, before the internet was in many Americans' homes, we depended on AM, FM, and shortwave broadcast stations. And we made some powerful enemies. To keep us off 50,000-watt shortwave station WRNO, organized Jewish interests boycotted the station and withdrew their advertising from it and its FM sister station. But Joe Costello, the station's owner, believed in free speech and kept us on the air even though it cost him a huge amount of money. Then they outed Joe Costello as a so-called racist and published in their newspapers that he had given money to, horror of horrors, David Duke's political campaigns, trying in yet another way to ruin him financially. But Joe Costello would not bow down. American Dissident Voices stayed on WRNO for many years. Also defiant was the ownership and management of Clear Channel KXEL, an AM station that covered half of the United States and Canada at night. Pressure was applied to them again and again for months, but the station's owners would not capitulate, and our voice was still heard. The controlled media published editorials denouncing American Dissident Voices and KXEL in both countries, and Jewish groups even tried to get the Canadian government and the Washington regime's FCC involved. But the only thing that finally worked for them was for the enemies of free speech to out and out buy the station and then refuse to sell time to us. And that process took a very long time. In the meantime, 20 states and 5 provinces got a weekly 50,000-watt clear channel dose of truth. Less inspiring, but still edifying, was the case of the Delano, California FM station, KDNO, that carried our show for a while. After a few weeks, though, the general manager of the station notified us that we were being canceled because, although he agreed with many of our positions, our failure to venerate God's chosen race was, quote-unquote, unscriptural and a sin of such magnitude that it could never be forgiven, much less tolerated. Then there was the curious case of the two millionaire brothers who owned a powerful Los Angeles radio station and who put American Dissident Voices on the air for a month or so. The brothers personally called Dr. Pierce on the telephone after a few shows had aired, apologizing profusely and admitting that they knew that everything we were saying about race and the organized Jewish groups was true, but that if they continued to air the show, they'd have zero advertising revenue, and black rioters burning down the station and possibly the brothers' homes in very short order. And when Will Williams and I restarted this program 8 years ago, I also told you that not only are we restarting ADV, we are reforming the National Alliance and building a headquarters and media center, and by the way, now a William Luther Pierce Memorial Library and Research Center, in a new redoubt in Dr. Pierce's beloved Appalachian Mountains. The National Alliance's longtime membership coordinator, former Green Beret Will Williams, will manage the new alliance. I will direct its media. Both we and others who will be assisting us behind the scenes worked directly with Dr. Pierce, some of us on a daily basis for decades. It is time to be uncompromising again. Those who took the alliance in a big tent direction, hoping for quantity at the expense of quality, have all failed miserably. Excising the parts of Dr. Pierce's membership handbook that pointed out fundamental contradictions between Christian doctrine and the National Alliance worldview did not bring numbers to our ranks, nor advancement to our cause. The original membership handbook, the one actually written and approved of by Dr. Pierce, will be our starting point. The cosmotheist understanding of the purpose of the universe and the meaning of our lives, undergirded by reason and science, will be the basis of all our efforts. We must never lose that vision. We must not base what we say and do on gaining popularity at the expense of our long-term goals and fundamental principles. There will come a time for single-issue front groups, for cooperation with other nationalists to achieve certain limited goals, for a modus vivendi with other races and nations, but never at the expense of the goal of white living space. Never at the expense of pretending to believe what we know isn't true. Never at the expense of allowing other opposed ideologies a place within the National Alliance leadership. It will be objected that we are but a handful of men, and that is true. But I was there when all the men and women who had promised to help Dr. Pierce build a new community had abandoned him, and membership was at an all-time low. One by one, Will Williams came, Fred Street came, I came, Joe Price of Dresden fame came, and others of sterling character and generous hearts and inspired souls came to the mountain. And we made something great grow in those Appalachian hills, something that, whatever comes, will never be forgotten. Great movements of national renewal always begin with a few trusted men. gathering together to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to a cause that is greater than themselves, to a future that requires devotion and action to come into existence. And so, on that note, let us raise a glass and toast not just what we have done in the last 30 years of American Dissident Voices, but what our race will do if we continue to do right in the next 30,000.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
We have the new product at InfoWarsLife.com, BioTrue Selenium.
We've had so many requests over the years for selenium, and just recently, we were able to source a certified organic bioavailable selenium from mustard seed extract. When you take selenium in the body, it actually benefits the detoxification systems in your body. It helps balance the thyroid gland. It helps detoxify.
Selenium is another one of those absolute must-haves.
The highest concentration of selenium is in the thyroid gland, but it's actually used all over the body. As a matter of fact, there's 25 genes in the body that are directly dependent upon selenium. So it really is a all-around nutrient that everybody really needs.
I'm taking it now every day. This is so key. BioTrue Selenium is the product, the best selenium that we could bring you. We believe it's the best out there at a very, very low price. Exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them and let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.